2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 to 5. We know this portion of scripture very well, and we're calling our teaching tonight Holding On to Sound Doctrine. Holding On to Sound Doctrine. And here Timothy is, Paul is encouraging Timothy to be faithful with the word, with what he has received, for he had received good grounding, good teaching, and so he's being encouraged here to preach the word, to stay with it, just like the Lord says to us. And we'll read these 5 verses of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, the latter part of this which you just read is about us fulfilling our ministry. We each of us have ministry. We might not think we do. We know that some are waiting on their ministry, but we still all have ministry. We have ministry because we are witnesses to the gospel. We walk as believers in this world of darkness. We each of us, if born again and have received that new nature in Christ, have a testimony. We have something to declare. We have been changed. We have a new life, and therefore we cannot help but speak that which we know, we have seen, which we have heard, and we experience. This is why we're called to be witnesses in this world. And the Lord will get us to witness in many ways and forms. And there are times when we're not even aware of this, that God is using us. But that is the nature of our calling. that we fulfill our ministry. And so it's important that we maintain and stay with this sound doctrine, the teaching that we've had over the years that we dare not deviate from, because it is the truth that is setting us free. That is, if we stay with it, we embrace it. This is why the Word of God will deal with every situation, everything that you go through, everything that you're battling with, things that you're still not sure about or confused. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, will deal with it. That is its whole nature. The Word of God that we receive, those 66 books, are a revelation of God to us in this life. This is why we spend time in the Word. And not only when you come online or you come to a meeting, but you yourselves spend that time reading the Word of God, praying over it. We have to give ourselves time for the Word. We're not to get so engrossed in so many things in the world and put TV to one side until you have put priorities first in your life. Because there are many things that try to rob our mind, try to rob our time, to take us away from meditating, reading on the Word, praying it over, chewing the cud as we're supposed to do. Because this Word is spiritual. It's not just reading a book or a novel or newspapers or articles. That's not the nature of this book. This book requires the Holy Spirit as your teacher to teach you His Word. The same Spirit who wrote this Word, the Holy Spirit, is the same Spirit whom you have received. And of course, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is why the Word of God is life to us. It feeds us. This is how we grow. And yet I fear that some of us have become a little lackadaisical, or we have given our times over to other things that are taking our time more than putting priorities first. And then we wonder why things are going wrong in our lives, or why the door is open to the enemy and so on. It's not rocket science, brothers and sisters. And we are very, very blessed with the Word. But what I fear is that you're wanting to hear the Word just through preaching. And it is not enough. You have to hear the Word and read the Word before God so that God speaks personally to you also. This is so important because this is part of our relationship, our walk with God. So I want to just clarify this because I believe the Holy Spirit has given this for a reason. And we all need to be on our guard with regard to this. But the question that's always raised is, how do you know you are receiving sound doctrine? That's often challenged. It's often debated. And many, even professing Christians, still grapple with this one. But the question is, what is its effects? What effect does it have on us? What is it doing to me? Do I experience, when I've heard the Word of God and I've read the Word of God myself, that it speaks to me? It has a cleansing effect. It has an effect of where it is releasing me. It's bringing me closer to God. Or there are certain questions or things that I'm not sure about, where I find eventually the Holy Spirit will speak to me, will answer those questions, and so on. There are many effects that the Word of God should have to us, spiritually speaking. But often time will tell, because most will not only quote the word of God, but they will know the reality of what they are quoting. They will know that maybe God quickened his word through a trial that you were going through, or where the word of God was a comfort at that time. So these are all the signs and indications of what the word of God is doing in your life and my life. But the question is, in what we hear, what we read, do we believe it and do we apply it? And that is what sorts it out. And I'm not saying that this application of the word which we read and what we hear when preached, we get to immediately. But that should always be the desire of our heart. That should always be our prayer. That should always be our motive. Before we listen to the word, or we come to a meeting, or before I open up the Bible, that it might apply in my life, that I might live this which I'm reading and hearing and quoting. That is the question. So as he says here, he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who would judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So he firstly speaks about the coming of the Lord. The Lord will come. And it's very important in the context of what we're looking at here in with regard to preaching of the word. He says, I charge you. In other words, I bring this to your attention. This isn't something you can run away from or pretend, or you'll look at it another day. Because Jesus Christ is coming, and he's coming as judge. And he says he will judge both the living and the dead. And so he then goes on in verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. That's what he's saying there. Now, this shows the challenges of enduring sound doctrine. It's in season and out of season. In all weathers, in all situations, whatever the circumstances, whatever you're going through, no matter how you feel, it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. And that is how we receive the word of God in full gospel assembly. Whatever the circumstances, whatever the season, whatever we're going through, whether individually or corporately, we are ready. We preach the word. We stay with it. We're not going to allow circumstances to change our message. We're not going to allow, because there are delays in the promises of God being revealed, and many times God does that, we're not going to change as a result, because we're not at the moment seeing any manifestations. We're not going to even change our doctrine with regard to divine healing, which is probably the biggest one. We are still going to stay with it and preach it, even if nobody wants to hear it. That is the question, and that is what we stay with. And that's what he's challenging here. That's what the Apostle Paul is challenging Timothy here. It's in and out of seasons. In other words, he's using weathers. Spring, summer, winter, autumn, and so on. That's the idea he's using here. And then he uses a word, convince, rebuke. And this is where they look often at you. Convince. Is your life as a Christian convincing? Are you revealing the fruit? Are you showing the joy of the Lord? Are you loving, sharing, giving, generous? Are you ready to forgive? Are you a brother or sister who will bear the weaknesses of those around? Are you a man or woman known to be of prayer, intercession? Are you reliable? These are all important things that reveal whether we're Christian or not. Because he uses this word in which to convince. And that's why they look at you. The life that you live. Reliable, trustworthy. How you treat other people. You may convince yourself that you are right with God. But others will see. Because Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. And we're very good at convincing ourselves or deceiving ourselves that my life is reflecting on other people and other people are seeing that I am a good Christian. I don't think any of us can actually say, I am a good Christian, I live a good life, I live a godly life. We are what we are by the mercy and grace of God. But we'll know by others in time where we stand with regard to Almighty God, and that's the question. He then goes on to say rebuke and exhort. Now rebuke here is, this is where at times we don't compromise, but we defend the truth. And there are going to be times when you have to be defenders of the truth. And you may not well be very popular, but you have to defend the truth because it's what the truth is setting you free in that area. It's what you believe, it's what you read, it's what you see, it's what's being revealed to you. And so there are times when we have to be defenders of the truth. And it might be that you have to help correct those who are misapplying this truth, this word. And that is, of course, not always an easy one, because people become very easily offended. But if we are lovers of the truth and we love the word of God, then we're going to find that there is that desire to want to know that truth, because in knowing that truth, it spells out freedom to us, a freedom of mind and heart and spirit. That's why we embrace the Word of God, its truth, because of what it does, it sets us free. And the problem being, of course, is today that sadly so many of our brothers and sisters are victims to wrong teaching. They put their ears to so many different preachers and teachers, and we wonder why there's so much confusion in the house of God. Because our minds, our brains are like computers, as I so often say. If you put wrong information in, you eventually get wrong information out. And that is why the Holy Spirit has come to be our teacher, to erase that wrong teaching that we've received in our minds and thinking, so that we can be delivered. This is why so often when we come into the house of God, we come and we receive that sound teaching, so often we find with it is in nature deliverance to us, because the Word of God sets us free. And the Holy Spirit will always bless His word. He will always anoint His word, whether what you're reading or with what you're hearing. And that is then where the change comes. That is where the deliverance comes. This is why the anointing, the unction of the Spirit is so vital with the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Because it not only is it teaching the purity of God's Word, but it's also accompanying a healing, a deliverance in the mind. And sadly, this is what is so lacking in the house of God. Our brothers and sisters are not always getting this healing and deliverance in their mind and thinking, because they're so exposed to wrong heresies and teachings and so on. This is why we need to pray. This is why we need to pray for the Word of God. This is why you need to pray. Because it brings deliverance, freedom to you as you get behind this Word. So it's very important, this. It really, really is. So he says to rebuke. And then we get this word to exhort. This word to exhort really means it's a word of long suffering. It means to stay with it, to exhort, to encourage, even if they're not responding, which sometimes can be the case. Sometimes you can feel as though you're talking to the brick wall. But he says here, continue to exhort, to stay with it, to encourage. And of course, all of us should potentially be able to do that to a brother or sister or in a situation. We're to always bring the positive and not the negative into a situation. In whatever conversation we should be, we should always bring the positive into that conversation and not the negative and unbelief. It's so easy when we get in company or we start talking with other people, and the next thing you know is, oh, so-and-so's talking about their bad back. And before you know about it, you're talking about the experience, the bad back you had a year ago, and how you went through this and went through that. And that's how the level of the conversation goes. And you get drawn down into it. When we have all the promises of God's Word, how about talking how God delivered, healed your back, brought you out of that pain and suffering and so on? It's very easy to get drawn in to the negative. The Word of God is not negative to us, anything but. It is positive, for all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. That's why it is so important what comes out of our mouth. That we exhort, we encourage the believers in the faith, in the Word of God, so they can hold on to the positive, so they can guard their confession and what comes out of their mouth. We all too often speak the negative, but we need to be very, very careful. So here he uses this word to exhort, and it really means to be long-suffering. You see, it takes time for faith and belief. That's why our faith is called precious, because it takes years to develop, to grow. Our believing, we don't believe immediately overnight. We have to go through much trials and tribulations, which is all part of our faith and our believing. So we need to encourage and exhort the believers in this. Because at times you may be called to undo wrong teaching in a Christian by simply encouraging them. Sometimes we need to gently say, you know, brother, sister, you need to change your confession here. Listen to what's coming out of your mouth. You're saying, I'm down, I'm depressed, I'm fed up. That's what you are saying. That's what you're confessing. Because the scripture says, as a man believes in his heart, so is he. You will confess what is in your heart, your thinking. So we have to start to change this, to rise above this. And there's nothing like the Word of God to change that, as it speaks to our mind and heart and thinking. So we do need to be on our guard with all of these things. Now we continue with this. In verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And so it goes on. So here we're given a warning, and certainly an end time warning. But this gives us a clue here, interestingly, because it speaks about their own desires. Self, what self wants to hear. You see, if the cross isn't central in the life of a believer, there will always be problems with regarding hearing the truth. You see, we have to remember that there are two aspects to the cross of Christ. There's the cross that Jesus took up on behalf of the world, that we might be in fellowship tonight through his act and obedience of taking up his cross, providing the remission of sins. But the second aspect is that we too are to take up our cross and follow Christ, which we know only too well in this body. We have much teaching about that. And so, bearing that in mind, it says, they will turn, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And the problem with that is, they've lost sight of the cross. They've lost sight of what the cross does in dealing with the self-life. And because they want the self-life, they want to do their own thing, they want that independent spirit, they won't endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers who teach heresy. So because of their own desires, their own lust, their own want, their own pride, they will start to change the doctrine, the Word of God, to fit around their sinful lives. Is that not paramount today? Do we not see that today? Why, sadly, yes. Most have fallen victim to this. Remember, nobody can live the standard of the Word of God. That's the reason God gave it. The reason God gave the revelation of his Word, he knew full well man cannot live it. He knew Israel could not obey the Word of God. He was trying to sow something greater and bigger, to show that it's not by might nor by power, it's by my spirit. You can only obey and live the principle of God's word by the power of the Spirit of God that lives, resides, dwells in each of us. But the question is, brothers and sisters, are you drawing from that power? Are you experiencing that power every moment and second of the day? It comes as you look to the cross, as you take up your cross and follow him, as you confess that cross, you believe that that cross will do its work in your life. There is where the power is provided in which to live and keep the principle of God's word. Cannot be done otherwise, brothers and sisters. It's impossible. Believe me, many have tried. You don't try to believe the word of God. You don't try to live it. You either are or you're not. And if you're not, then you have to seek God as to what the problem is. And these people don't want to live that life. They don't want to have to surrender their whole entire being up to God as a living sacrifice, Romans 12, 1 and 2. They don't want it. So it's easier to get teachers who will teach them and give them exactly what they want to hear. And Satan laughs at that. Many of them are gripped in deception by that way. And not only that, but it says in verse 4 that they will turn their ears away from the truth. And that's what it does. It's a slow decay. It's a gradual turning away. It isn't a sudden thing, and it's called compromising on the word of God. That's what happens when we begin to compromise. Are we finding areas in our life where we're compromising over the word, over the truth? It's no longer that real sharp sword that it once was. We have to all of us watch this. Unbelief will do this. When maybe you held on, you believed for something, but it didn't turn out or it went wrong, it's very easy to harden our hearts. It's very easy to start saying, this doesn't work, or it's not working in my life, which is really making God out a liar. No, if we stay with it, and we humble ourselves and spend time in his presence, God will always show us where we've missed it. He will always show us if it was unbelief or rebellion or whatever it is. And very often he'll speak quicker than we realize. And not only that, but he will bring us back, because he cleanses us by the blood of the Lamb, so that we can then, by the Spirit, his way, fulfill those promises that are for us. God will always do this. He'll always do it. But the question is, do I have a heart to carry on with it, even though I've fallen flat on my face? That is the question. Because I know that this can look very negative at times. Everything around us is always outwardly appears negative. But faith always rises above it. See, the word of God, what we read, is above circumstances, is above this world, this life, is above my feelings, my emotions, my circumstances, or whatever it is I'm going through. This word that I read, this sword, this living word, is above everything that is around me. It is above the devil. It is above every demon and power and principality. This word is forever settled in heaven, says the word of God. And that's what we hold to. That's what we don't deviate from, any of this. And so he says here quite clearly that they turn away their ears from the truth and they turn aside to fables. What does it mean here? They put their ears to rubbish. How many of these preachers do you listen to, and fundamentally it is a load of rubbish that comes out of their mouths? And at the end of it, they're begging. They want money so that they can keep these programs going, so that he can keep his limousine running on the road, and so on. And people are so foolish. But of course, we have today There's so much confusion today in the house of God where they now expect a minister to ask, to beg. They expect their ministers to have 20-odd, £2,000 suits, a very big, expensive car, a huge house that they live in. They expect them to have that, because they now will tell you that's a sign of his and the anointing on him. That's a sign of God's blessing on him or her. That's how far removed we are now in thinking. That is a fact, brothers and sisters. And here it is in 2 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. This is epitomizes exactly what is happening, what we're seeing today. That they put their ears over to these fables, this rubbish. It's all stories about legends, or about extraordinary people, or about heroes, or how they're boasting about medical science and what it's curing, and so on. This is all what it speaks about here, fables, rubbish. And they're the things that they so often exhort and talk about today. We now only call miracles, and this comes out of Christians, they only call miracles when doctors perform operations on people. They now call it miracles, undermining the miracles that Jesus wrought in his ministry and the gifts that he left us of healings and miracles and faith that we, the church, should embrace and take up those gifts. We no longer do today. We leave it to medical science to do it, and then we call it miracles. How does God feel about that? Have we ever asked God how he feels about when he hears such statements like that? When he revealed through his son Jesus Christ as a witness to the world? Jesus' ministry is a witness to us, to also to continue to live and walk the same. And yet most will reject it. Most will excuse it. Because they're putting their ears over to fables, to rubbish. They don't want the purity of God's word preached anymore. It is a remnant. It is a few. But praise God, that is what we want. Because we know that when we embrace and we hear the word of God, it sets us free. For the Lord has come to set the captives free, and you are set free by the purity of God's word, and not deviating from it, not watering it down. So often the problems come when we fail or we don't live up to the mark. We then assume that, well, there's something wrong with the word of God. Instead of having the humility just to say, it was unbelief in my life, or it was sin in my life. There's nothing wrong with the word of God. The problem lies with me in believing it and obeying it. When we start to have a heart and attitude like that, then we're going to see ourselves beginning to rise up. We're going to start to see unbelief being removed. Because it allows the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, to teach us the word of God, to empower us with his word. As I said at the beginning, God knows no one can live this word. God knew when he gave the law to Israel, he knew they couldn't keep that. But it was to be a means of bringing them to faith. But they rebelled. They had a stiff neck. The same principle with us. You know if it's God. Nobody can keep it. It's impossible. So when I see things that are impossible, that pretty well tells me this is God. And God will make it possible. And that's how he works it. Don't ask me how he does it, but he'll make it possible. He'll make it possible for you to believe that those mountains will be removed in Jesus' name. He will make it possible when you are going through those fiery trials, when it seems as though your faith is giving up, he will make it possible. He will make it possible when you're rejected because you hold for the truth of God's word. He will make it possible. Don't ask me how he does it, because he's a miracle working God. But he can, and he will, and he does. And all he ever asks us is to simply believe with that childlike faith. Don't question. He will do it. He has our lives completely, utterly in control. He knows everything and more what he's doing. We have nothing to lose. We are a people who always live in the victory. The battle is already won. Your prayers are already answered, even before you pray. God knows from beginning to end. He knows everything. So we can rest assured in all of this that what he gives us, sound doctrine, teaching by the Spirit, is exactly what we need. Because as I say, as I finish here, every time we come together and we hear the word of God, it is a deliverance for us. It is God working on our minds so that we can cast down those thoughts, imaginations, those things that war against the members, the spirit. Because your battle is in the mind. So often we think our battles are outside, or with my husband, my wife, or the son, the daughter, or the boss at work, or whatever it is. Yes, it may be a battle, but the biggest battle for the Christian is in the mind. Because the enemy knows that is where seed is sown. As you listen to the word of God. That's why faith comes as you hear the word of God, Romans says. And that is where the battles are. Some of you tonight might be battling as you're hearing this word. Well, let the Holy Spirit heal your mind. Let the Holy Spirit just cast out any of the deception, wrong teaching, wrong doctrines that have been put in mind by man. Let the Holy Spirit become your teacher. And you will know the anointed, because what they will preach and teach will confirm with your heart and your spirit and the word of God. There is nothing like God to teach us his word, because it is his word. And it is forever settled in heaven. And we know that the enemy is out to try and deceive God's word. He hates the word of God. And we know through history how he's tried to destroy the word of God. Yet it's still preserved in its entirety. We still hold in our hands those 66 books, because God has decreed that this word will not be destroyed by the powers of darkness. But the enemy tries. But praise God, the Lord is always one step ahead. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. There we are. Are we staying with sound doctrine? Are we always going to let that be our priority and everything else secondary? Things around the house, or wanting to put that television on, or wanting to read that book or whatever it is, have I first spent time meditating, reading God's word first? That's the question. because there's great deliverance and healing in the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. Father, again tonight we thank you for this exhortation. Thank you, Lord, you have admonished us. You have challenged us. We've all of us at times have compromised with the Word or our time with your Word. But Lord, help us to be thoroughly nourished and taught in your Word. Not only when we come to the meetings, but also in our quiet time as well. Help us, Lord, to just wait upon your Word, to pray over your Word, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through your Word to our hearts and to our lives. Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for this meeting tonight. Thank you for bringing the saints in this room. Thank you that your precious cleansing blood is over each one of us. Be with us, Father, when we go out and when we come in. Give your angels charge over each of us. Keep us, Father, in the purity of your Word and sound doctrine. Keep us from any deception, any wrong doctrines, Father. All those things that the enemy tries to trip us up on. Let us always keep looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
And Jesus is